show up with Serena's food. I would like to point out that it is unnaturally green. The burger, the shake, everything. Yeah, it's definitely more questionable than the real food.
Okay. Yeah.
The vegan burger.
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
And then you hear Bella Wood in the back saying, "Who the hell keeps ordering this vegan burger? It's terrible. Like, I don't know, but like, you know, more power to you. Like, maybe if I got that Better Beyond meat or something, I don't know, but I'll add that to the list. That and a pancake problem. Oh God." And you're back at the table here, and Forrest looks at y'all and he's just like, "Are you saying that most of the stories that are, you know, being put out there, that are being published about what goes on in this town is just like BS? It's not real? Like, are you telling me that Jude here is printing BS?"
I'm just saying, it's not just BS, but it's a story. It keeps people going, you know, keeps interest piqued. I mean, you can't really call that BS, right?
Well, I mean, like, there, you know, there's interest, and then, you know, like,
Jude brought me here. The best of intentions.
Absolutely.
Paisley, they do a wonderful, wonderful job entertaining Sunderland. They give us the facts, but, you know, they also give us everybody else's biased opinions and thoughts and imaginings, and they just kind of lay it all out for us to make our own. Well, you tell them.
You know, like, look, they're telling you that it's, you know, they're trying to make it seem like it's tourism industry. That's not what we do. Like, these are trusted people. These are believable eyewitnesses. They tell us. They trust us with their stories and stuff like that. And these stories, they go back a long way. So, like, I just don't think it's just, hey, this is our thing. Let's just, you know, get those tourism dollars, like, or Roswell or something. Like, that's not what we do here.
I mean, to be fair, besides the saucer swirl, I don't see anybody coming here to try to find aliens. Remy, is that why you came?
Oh, well, no, I really wanted to help people, and I love the I love the food. I love being able to get up every day, have a routine, run 6 miles, come back in, get a shower, get to work. You know,
Serena, you seen any aliens?
Oh, never in my life seen an alien. Sometimes I see things when I have some of these special brownies I make sometimes, but
everybody's seen things.
Don't tell me about the brownies.
I tried to
get everybody's seen things. And I mean, you know, I'm here every morning, every lunch. I know the people of Sunderland, and some of them got some stories, but some of them just, they got, you know, there's a lot going on in their lives, and sometimes you just got to tell yourself what you got to tell yourself to get through the next day. And if a little green man is a little easier to process, then whatever makes you happy.
All right. Well, you know, I really dig this town's vibe, so I think I'm going to stick around for a while and see what I can find.
Would you like any dessert?
Oh, what do you got? You got... Because I do enjoy my sweets, that's for sure.
Well, we have a Saturn cinnamon roll. The pancakes. You see, the pancakes, you can eat them at any time of the day. They're blue. Mm. It makes them taste better.
Blue.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Alright.
We have a chocolate cake that is as dark as the void.
Oh, wow.
That's what it's called, the dark void. It, once you eat it, kind of sits in your stomach and saps the strength from you, so you lay down a little bit. It's great.
Would you recommend that?
Oh, yes.
It depends on how you would like your evening. If nothing on our dessert menu really hits what you're craving, Serena can hook you up.
I do have some brownies. I'll give you the first one for free.
Oh, damn, first one's free.
Okay. Like,
I'll tell you what. I'll bring you a void cake on the house. Welcome to Sunderland.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Coffee for everybody.
Thank you so much for being so hospitable, even though you're like basically shooting down like my purpose for being here. I mean, maybe I will find another purpose, but I appreciate it.
Oh, I think tell your stories, get them out there, you know, tell them about the nice people here in Sutherland. Yeah. I think it will be great. Oh,
also, I'm going to give you this business card for Green Clean. I'm really trying to get it off the ground. It's an all-natural alternative to the absolute garbage that comes out of the chemical plant here.
I appreciate that. You know, I could always use some cleaning products. He takes the card and, puts it in his pocket.
Can I get a couple extra? I'm still trying to sell Bello on switching over, but, you know.
Yes.
It's a hard sell. Here, just got to keep slipping them, you know.
Take as many as you need. I'm having a hard time giving them out, you know.
You all enjoy this brief moment in this time here, and you go home. You each go home. Serena, what's your night like?
I stay up most of the night. I tool around on social media. I go visit a few more business partners. Have some brownies. You know.
Mm-hmm. As you're kind of like, it's late, you know, it's probably like, it's after midnight, you know, like 2-3 in the morning. You're starting to kind of like finally drift off to sleep. And you start to have this very weird dream, and it starts like, you know, relatively normal. You're like doing some kind of normal activity. And then the face of Mary Keel just like appears, and it's like, it's not her entire body. It's just her face. It appears. And you get this feeling like she's just, like, this isn't a dream. This is real. And she starts talking to you in this dream. Oh, Serena. Hello, Serena. So, have you given any more thought about buying that car? I think you've taken something from me.
You know, I have given it more thought. And I think I'm gonna decline. I got a lot of compliments today on the green machine. I think I'm gonna stick with her a little longer.
I see. The green machine. That's a crying shame. You took something from me.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I think you do. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. You took something from me.
If the brownies were not to your liking, I can bring you some more extra special ingredient.
Brownies. Brownies are not going to do it. Do you know how Reed Moss and Grayson Burris and Frankie Rose died?
I know, I don't. And as far as I know, they're still alive. I choose to believe that Grayson is just playing multi-year trick on us. I don't know what you're talking about.
They all died because they didn't have a pelvis. Oh, it's so funny. Okay. Does it sound familiar to you?
Your mama didn't have sound a pelvis. To you? Does that work for you?
They didn't have a pelvis, yes. It works for me. Does it work for you? Have you read anything interesting lately?
I read a really, really interesting article on social media today. Otherwise, I have idea what you're talking about, Mary.
What was that article about?
It was about how car salesmen, the car sailing business is doing great, and we're also proud of you in Sunderland, and there's no reason to be upset with anybody at all, and I'm sure whatever it is you lost, car sailing, yeah, I'm sure whatever it is you lost, you'll find it. Why took it?
I think that I will find it in your possession, and as you're in your sleep, you just like wake up out of a dead sleep, and you feel this like brief choking sensation, and it just lets up. You're kind of in a cold sweat as you're waking up.
I get up and I go find the book, and I want to hide it. I have a lot of hiding spots, a lot of really creative hiding spots. And I want to take it out to my car. I go out to my car, and I want to like look around. Do I think anyone's watching me out in like the parking lot of my apartment?
Roll me perception.
Okay, I have. Oh, that was a really shitty roll. So I rolled a 7 on perception.
Okay. I think you're just a little too rattled to like really hone in on it. If anybody is looking at you or anything like that, you are just shaken.
I'm looking around. I'm not even giving my eyes time to adjust to the darkness. I'm gonna like pop open the panel inside my car, the inside my car door, and it like pops open, and I've got a stash of some stuff there, and I'm gonna like put the book there, and then I'm gonna pop the car panel back, and I'm gonna shut the door and lock it, and I'm gonna go back up to my apartment.
Okay, now we're gonna cut to Remy. What's Remy's night usually like after going home from the saucer swirl?
Well, tonight's a little different. After getting done from the saucer swirl, considering that we did have a dead body, I got some paperwork, and then Buford gave me his paperwork. And then the sheriff also gave me his paperwork, and I also have to get Irwin's paperwork. Even though he is a gator, we have to make sure that all of his paperwork lines up as well. So I'm going to go back to the bathroom, going to get the corner stall, open it up, get everything organized, do a little research, make sure I've got everything in line, drop off the evidence at the locker, make sure that's all nice and taken care of. And I got a little bit of a long night ahead of me, so I'm doing some paperwork, but I tell myself I have to be in bed with my melatonin drink by 11:30. So I'm working real hard and get that all settled and submitted. I head out the door, go back to my place. It's a nice small studio apartment that I live up above, and I mix my melatonin, and I'm getting ready to be up at 5 a.m.
Damn. That's a hell of a night. So, you know, as you're doing your paperwork, you're in that stall, and the last person there is basically saying, "Hey, just lock up. If you don't mind, lock up when you're done. Thank you."
I will.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You're looking at Irwin's paperwork, and it looks like it's been written by a one-year-old.
An alligator. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's not literate. It's terrible.
It is, but like you kind of get the gist of what the gator is going for, and it, you know, there really is no value there. You're kind of the pushover, and there's another cop. Her name is Lexi Ellis. Walks in, and she's like, "Rami, why do you do everybody's paperwork for them? Like, it's just a lot of extra work, and you don't deserve to do that. Like, what? How are you even not even really on the force yet? What the heck is going on here?"
Well, I mean, you gotta prove to them that you want to be here. You gotta be the first one that punches in and the last one that clocks out. I have to show them every day that I want to be here, that I want to do the work that's necessary. And I think sometimes that's what happens, is they're testing you. They're making sure that you're tough enough to really follow through, you know? And I know this paperwork is real important, and I'm going to hold up Erwin's paperwork, and it's just all like scribbles over like what it's just. Listen, I know this may not look like much, but it might mean something, you know, to the boss. And I don't know. I really want to be a detective. There's not many things I've really loved more in my life than solving things and figuring things out, and if I gotta work harder than everybody else, then I will. I mean, you're quite an inspiration, Lexi. You're one of the best at the job.
I appreciate that, but I didn't do all this. Like, if it were me trying to process the paperwork of a small alligator, I would just lose my mind. Like, I never had to do any of this. And like, I know you're trying to prove yourself, but like you do quality work. You don't really need to do this. And like, it just like the paper, it just seems like hazing to me. I don't know. Like,
well, what do you think I should, I mean, what else is there? What do you think I should do?
You ever thought about, I don't know, going into business for yourself, maybe doing the PI thing? Because, like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be on the force already. Like, it's just very weird to me. But you ever think the PI road is for you?
I mean, I mean, they have given me this nice office, and I do get a free roll of toilet paper to take home.
Remy, your office is in a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're the only other person that comes in, really.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, it just seems like they're not respecting you, and that you deserve that respect for everything that you do.
Huh. You really think I could? You think I could do that? A private investigation, and it probably would. I mean, I'd get to see a lot more people, and be kind of in front of them, and talk to them, and.
Yeah.
I would like that. I do. I could be in bed at a reasonable hour.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to be up until damn near midnight, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Well, shoot, Lexi, you've given me a lot to think about. I didn't know tonight was going to go like this. Yeah.
Here. And she reaches for the paper. Like, let me take care of this, okay?
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, don't even worry about it. I'll take care of this. You go on home. You work so hard. And you know, you, like I say, you deserve to be respected for the work that you do, because it is good work.
I'm going to go make me some business cards. Yeah. Hey,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah. Hey, you know what, Lexi, thank you. I appreciate your confidence. Thank you.
Yeah, don't mention it. Like, And you know what? Like, I'll even throw a case or two your way if one comes to me. And I think you could really use it, and your expertise could, you know, really be good for it. I'll throw it your way. I'm looking out for you.
Well, thank you. That'd be great. And I'm going to pack up my bathroom and my backpack that I have. I still like pack everything into a backpack, laptop and stuff. I was using the back of the toilet as my desk, you know, and the door. And there's like a shelf on the door that I kind of like push open. I pack everything up. And the electrical outlet was dangerously close to the piping, you know. So it's like, so I unplug everything and take it out. And as I go to leave, I'm going to stop at Lexi. I'll be like, oh, listen, would you, I hate to impose anything else, but there was a body back downtown. Oh, you heard about that, right?
Oh yeah, that really weird one with the weird eye and the green arm.
I think it was Carter Potts.
Yeah, Carter Potts, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, would you just let me know what's going on with that?
Yeah.
You know, if you hear anything, detective to detective.
Oh yeah. Look, the autopsy report should be coming out tomorrow. I'll make sure you get a copy. For sure.
That would be great. I would really appreciate that. All right, listen, you have a good night, all right? And thank you again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, no problem. Like, I can't wait to see what you do.
And I'll head out the door to my my car and start to drive home. And as I'm driving home, I'm designing Remy Dean PI business cards in my head. And I take that line that I always say to people, someone being mean, call Remy Dean. And I'm thinking of making that the tagline at the bottom, and you know, all the goofy, cheesy stuff that she does.
Absolutely. You head on home, and you after you're done designing these business cards, you get to go to bed early for once.
11:28. I can't believe it. I'm in bed. 2 minutes early. I drink that melatonin shake like it's a last meal.
Oh man,
I'm so happy. I'm gonna sleep the sleep of aliens.
Oh man. So yeah, you're gonna sleep so well that you'll actually be missing some time when you do wake up. That's gonna take us to Birdie. And what's Birdie's night like?
So once all of the young staff has come in for the evening shift and we've got them started and everything's good, I'm going to go back to the back. I'm going to check the ingredients. I'm going to make sure that Bello didn't cheap out and buy the cheap ingredients again, and maybe that's why people are complaining about the pancakes. I'm gonna notice that he probably did, so then I have to go to the grocery store, get the right ingredients, because you know the pancakes are personal to me. They have to be good. My dad was the 10-year running champion of the pancake eating contest, so I can't have them Bello ruining them with his cheapness. So I'm going to stop at the grocery store, get some ingredients. I'm just going to stop by our local movie store, the Church of Bruce Campbell, grab a movie.
Yep.
And because it was in the cards today, before I head back to my house, I'm going to take a nice little trip out to the lake and maybe, you know, take a little walk.
As you you're doing like that, you take a trip onto the west side of town, and eventually the west side goes from, you know, cityscapes to this nice lush forest. And you know the spot where you can walk in, and it's the lake's not that far. So you do, and there's like a very eerie serenity to Micalac Lake. It's kind of the place where you can just like sit there and kind of, you know, just kind of think for a while, think to yourself, and kind of the place where ideas are born. Like, this is kind of one of those places that just affects people in different ways. And you're out there, and like, it isn't long before, like, you start to notice, like, there's some activity on the lake. You can see kind of like this, just a, it's like a bright light under the water. It's not very big, but it's just kind of like, you know, moving back and forth in the water. Just moseying around, and moseys away from you, and it kind of, you know, you can kind of see it go to the furthest parts of the lake. But there isn't really much to think of it, you know, like maybe it's just some kind of like bioluminescent fish. And as you're paying attention, yeah,
I would definitely want to sketch that. So I still always have my apron on from the saucer swirl, but in there, my order book doubles as a sketchbook. So, you know, I'm going to find a nice little log to sit on and try to sketch it out, see if I can capture the moment.
Yeah. And there are legends of these things that are called river wisps that you've heard of. You've never seen one before. This is like your first time seeing one. Nobody knows what they are, but nobody gives a lot of thought to it because of its size, and because of, you know, it just seems like kind of natural to the lake. There's no lake anywhere else in the world that you know of where stuff like this is found. So you're sitting there and you're sketching it out. And as you do, out of the corner of your eye, on your right-hand side, you see kind of silver-colored thing. And you look over, and you see a tall spaceman. Or what you, like, that's the best kind of way to describe it. You see this silver-suited figure, like, covered in head to toe with a silver suit. And they have a helmet on their head. And it almost looks like it's part of the suit itself. But there's kind of a black visor in it. And this figure is just kind of standing there next to you. And you notice that this figure's floating, not standing, really. It's floating maybe half a foot above the ground. And you hear a voice, and you're not sure where it's coming from, but this voice says,
I am going to assume that I am way more tired than I gauged, and that I should not have come out here, and ignore the fact that this figure is floating, because obviously I'm just hallucinating. Maybe I did snack on one of Serena's brownies earlier. I can't quite remember. I just know that there's no possible way that this guy is actually floating. Good evening, sir. Do you work for the city? Is this some sort of new uniform? So, I'm not hallucinating? Like, looking, trying to see, So how are you floating? Do I get some money?
And the silver-suited spaceman just disappears.
Okay, say to myself, okay, seriously, do not eat anything that Serena gives you ever again. And I am going to gather all of my things and head to my car as quickly as possible. I'm just like, going straight to bed, going to sleep, gonna drink some water, try to clean my system out, get up early tomorrow and pretend that this did not happen.
You're driving back, and as you're driving, and you're driving near the saucer swirl, you see that the UFO out in front of the saucer swirl is glowing, and it's never done that before. That's completely new. In your time working there, you know, it has never worked there. It has never done anything. It's just kind of this, like, what you assumed is like this prop UFO, you know, just kind of there to drive in tourism. But it's glowing, and it's got a green glow to it.
Is this still within Saucer Squirrel operating hours, or have they closed?
No, they would have closed by now.
I am going to pull up next to the saucer and look for some sort of control panel or something, and you know, investigate. Maybe Bello hired somebody to electrify this thing.
Okay. You know, kind of poke your head around, and you don't see where this, like, when you look at it closely, it looks like just one solid structure. It doesn't even look like it would have lights on it or anything like that. It looks like it's just kind of made out of one giant piece of metal. And there's no kind of electrical components that you could see on, like, the tower that it's sitting on. But you're looking, and as you are, you look up at this thing, and a green beam of light comes down and strikes you right in the head. You fall backwards, and you lose consciousness. You wake up an unknown amount of time later. It's still dark out, so you kind of feel like it's not that long after. And you're just, like, laying on the ground.
Look around, see if I notice anyone. Dust myself off, make sure that nobody sees me waking up in the parking lot.
It doesn't appear to be anybody around.
I'm going to go ahead and set the alarm on my phone to wake me up extra early, so that I can call Bello and take tomorrow off, because I am not okay.
Your world has been definitely rattled by this, and you're a bit freaked out.
It's going to be my first day off in years. Going home. At this point, we're taking some NyQuil. We're knocking ourselves out for real in the bed.
Yeah, and you do, and you drift off to sleep, and you have very strange dreams of this silver-suited spaceman. And he keeps showing up, and he keeps saying the same things. Keeps telling you that you've been chosen. He keeps telling you that, you know, just like very random things that don't seem to make sense. And you wake up late the next day. In a world where the men in black have manuals of manipulation, and a detective has an office in a bathroom stall, and where some people are visited by spacemen and shot with green beams of light from UFOs, one can only wonder how nobody tends to notice just how strange the town of Sunderland is. But perhaps you do, listener. Thank you all so much for listening. Remy Dean was played by Chris Russo, Serena Jade was played by Jennifer Taylor, and Birdie was played by Desdemona. You can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram at SunderlandRPG. And if you want more weird lore about the town of Sunderland, check out at Weird Sunderland on X, formerly known as Twitter. Until next time, welcome to Sunderland. If you see something, don't say a fucking thing.